Heat season looks to be back on track, having won 14 of their last 21 games, but many believe they might be a trade away from emerging as a legitimate title contender. We break down the pros and cons of some potential trade options, Cam Reddish, Naz Reid, and Serge Ibaka, and if they could be the missing piece for Miami on today's Locked On Heat.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to Locked On Heat, your Monday to Friday podcast on the Miami Heat. I'm Wes Goldberg here with David Ramil. However you might be tuning in on YouTube, Odyssey, or wherever you get your podcast, thank you for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. All right, so before we get to the trade rumors around Naz Reid, Serge Ibaka, and Cam Reddish, I just want to talk quickly, David, about the Rui Hachimura deal to the Lakers. They traded Kendrick Nunn, 3 second round picks for Hachimura, who, you know, I love Hachimura. I'm still buying stock. I've got my stock. If you're selling it, I'm buying it. I think he could be a good player. Now, whether or not he turns into a good player with the Lakers is a separate conversation for Locked On Lakers to handle. But do you think that the Heat should have gotten more involved in trying to maybe acquire Rui Hachimura? Considering what the price ultimately was. Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, they don't have the picks to include in a potential trade like that. I'm not sure what it would have taken. Again, if we weren't looking into that aspect of it, then maybe they were involved. Maybe they potentially were.
They have 3 second round picks. That's how much the Lakers, they have those 3 second round picks.
Okay. Well, then if that's the case, if they could have included those picks, I mean, I don't know what salary they would have tried to attach a la Kendrick Nunn in that potential deal. So maybe that's another question for another time. Yeah. But I think they should have made the call. Maybe they did. For all we know, the Wizards took their offer and said, no, we don't want him in the same division. We don't want him to come back and you know, continue to show some promise down the road, et cetera. I think Miami would have been interested in trying to re-sign him long-term, too. I don't think it would have been a short-term rental. Maybe they just weren't as high on his stock as you and I are. I think he would have been a great fit in Miami. And, yes, they should have absolutely been involved. Now, having said all that, I think the byproduct of all this is that now we kind of have an accurate gauge for the trade market. I saw somebody referring to this as the anti-Rudy Gobert trade, in the sense that while Gobert's trade raised everybody's trade value by an unreachable amount, this lowers it to a more reasonable kind of, you know, something that might every team could have approached.
I guess. I mean, 3 second round picks is a lot of picks.
I'm seeing fans, by and large, say it was a steal for the Lakers. And I'm not sure I agree there.
That's more of where you come down on Rui Hachimura. But I do think, regardless, 3 second round picks, that's your second round pick in three separate years. That's a lot of picks. Considering that you can only trade, I think, even with second rounders, 7 years out. So that's basically half of the second rounders that you're able to move. Considering that the second round pick tends to be sort of the thing that greases the wheels in trades. Not like you're not getting a whole lot in this. Like, second round picks are you know, notoriously not very good basketball players, but they do tend in these trades to grease the wheels and get things done. Yeah. Rare is the trade that gets done without the second round pick, it appears. So to move those kind of assets in return for one player is, to me at least, a big deal. So I wouldn't just poo-poo the fact that it's 3 second round picks and just kind of regard them as nothing. In terms of what Miami could have offered, best case scenario, look, you're not trading a first round pick for Rui Hachimura. We know that. They could have also included 3 second round picks, but in terms of the matching salary, it would have been Dwayne Dedmon going back. And if you're the Wizards, you're like, okay, I've got Kendrick Nunn, who's at least a rotation guy. They're looking for point guard help. Bradley Beal's been in and out of the lineup, so they're looking for guard help just generally. You're looking at Kendrick Nunn and 3 first round picks or second round picks from the Lakers, or Dwayne Dedmon and 3 second round picks from the Heat, which kind of feels like that would have been their best offer, because you're not putting Caleb Martin or any of those kind of salaries on the table.
Right.
It's kind of an easy decision if you're the Wizards. Give me the guy who's a rotation player in Kendrick Nunn, who the league still seems to be high on for some reason. So even if Miami did give their best offer, the Lakers' offer was better than Miami's offer. So that said, I've been lobbying for the Rui Hachimura deal for a long time. Tough to see him end up going to Lakers. He's going to be good for them, man. I'm telling you, he's going to be good for them.
No, he's not. No, he's not. All right, we could debate that forever. It's a LeBron-centric team, and I just don't see him meshing. It takes time, and he's a young player without that kind of
But if they re-sign him,
they're not interested in the Lakers.
It is kind of funny how they ended up moving Kyle Kuzma to the Wizards, and then they got Kuzma's backup back. It's such a mess over there. All right, moving on. According to Michael Scotto of Hoops Hype, Naz Reid, the Timberwolves center, has drawn interest from teams like the Clippers and the Nuggets. I also think he makes sense for the Heat, David, if Naz Reid is really on the trade block here. And here's what I know. I know that the Heat were intrigued by Naz Reid during the pre-draft process in 2019. They were a little worried, like most teams, about his lack of motor at LSU, some of the athleticism issues that he showed there. He ended up going undrafted, Naz Reid, and then chose to sign a two-way contract with the Timberwolves because he thought he was going to get playing time there. There's going to be opportunity there. That opportunity wasn't in Miami. If we remember, they were going into that year with Bam Adebayo, Myers Leonard, Kelly Olynyk. There was somebody else in that front court rotation who I'm blanking on, but there wasn't a whole lot of availability or chance to earn that playing time. He played so well for the Timberwolves in Las Vegas that they ended up signing him to a four-year contract before the regular season even started. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent this summer, and I think if the Heat don't trade for him now, or if he doesn't end up signing long-term elsewhere, I think the Heat would be interested in signing him with the mid-level exception or at least a portion of it. That said, to get a deal done, I think it would have to include one of Miami's young players, probably some draft picks. What do you think of Naz Reid potentially in Miami?
I'd like his fit. I think it's certainly a better option than any on the roster right now in terms of being a backup center or even a player that could play alongside Bam Adebayo for spurts. I don't know that I necessarily like the fit. We talked about John Collins being a good option because of his athleticism, his ability to drive to the rim, even the theory of the outside shot, which has left him for the past two seasons. I know Naz is taking more shots from the three-point arc. He's still not a good shooter, nor is he, you know, putting up a huge numbers in that. So you have a sufficient enough sample size to say, yeah, he could do it. He's got a mid-range game. He can work in a low post. Much better rebounder. But Miami, by and large, just hasn't really prioritized the rebound as much. They're like you. They just don't really care about pulling down those boards by design. So in that sense, though, like he could shore up a lot of weaknesses there. Like he went to the same high school as former Heat legend Chris Silva. Maybe there's something to that, you know, a high energy guy. You know, I like the idea of Naz Reid. I just don't know that he's going to be as good a fit in Miami as a lot of Heat fans think he might be.
I love Naz Reid. I have him on my dynasty fantasy basketball team. So if he ends up in the Heat, that's even better for me. But look, you mentioned the 3-point shooting. He's shooting 34% on 2.5 3-point attempts per game this year. He's up to 65.5% on 2-pointers this year, which is way better than what he's been doing lately. He seems to be figuring out his game. Like you said, he's got some low post stuff, gets to the basket more. He's flashed that mid-range game. I believe enough in the 3-point shot that I think that's going to come along. He has experience in Minnesota playing next to Karl Anthony Towns, playing a little bit next to Rudy Gobert. And since Gobert got hurt like a week and a half ago or so, he's been starting like the last seven games for them and has been really good for them. Overall, he's not like the perfect fit, right? But I said this in regards to John Collins too. If you're just the Heat looking for the perfect fit next to Bam Adebayo, you're going to be looking for a long time. Sometimes you just, I'm not saying that guy isn't out there, but that guy might be out there and not available. And if you have an opportunity to go get a guy who's just a better player than some of the other depth options you have in the front court, and what it would cost to acquire that player makes sense, I think you just do it, and then you figure out, like, Omer Yurtseven is not a perfect fit next to Bam Adebayo either, but we know that the Heat were going to experiment with Omer Yurtseven in the front court next to Bam Adebayo going into the season if Omer didn't get hurt the way they did, because they were working on that in training camp. So in that respect, I think if you bring in Naz Reid, I don't know that you could play him next to Bam Adebayo right away, because again, that takes practice and all that stuff, and the Heat don't practice during the regular season. So, but he'd be a huge improvement to what you're doing in terms of your backup center minutes. Maybe there's time there to figure out a few minutes with them together in the front court. But to me, getting Naz Reid, 23 years old, 6'9", 245, has that potential to be a good 3-point shooter more consistently. If you re-sign him long-term this summer, then you work on it going into training camp next year, preseason next year, and then maybe you have a guy that you could play next to Bam. Bam could play the power forward minutes, or vice versa. They would be pretty interchangeable. Naz Reid has played both positions in his career, so I like it. I like it more just because I love Naz Reid. I really like Naz Reid. So getting him
it's a good move.
Great. Yeah. What would it cost, though?
But before we get into that, though, let me just say, I think it's the move that would benefit Miami from reaching out specifically to his agent and saying, look, we want him to be a long-term fit here in Miami, and it's something that we would like to approach in the offseason. Like, whatever trade goes down is fine. He's not the right fit for Miami this year. Like, they're getting enough from the backup minutes from either Orlando Robinson or Dwayne Dedman or whoever you might wind up acquiring. You know, eventually when Yurt Seven returns from injury, you're going to get enough from him. What they need is to prioritize getting something, somebody to play alongside Bam as a starter. And if Naz right Reid now isn't that guy, you don't want to take that chance at pulling off that trade. You could do it in the offseason, sign him as a free agent, and it makes a lot more sense and say, look, we want to help him reach superstar level. You know, we can do that here playing alongside Bam Adebayo. So I think there's a conversation to be had between the front office and the agent. I just don't think it's necessarily about acquiring him now. It's more about acquiring him in the offseason.
Isn't that called tampering, David?
I don't think so. I think it's just calling about your guy.
Listen, you bring up a really good point about his unrestricted free agency. You know what? We got to take a break here. Let's get to that on the other side of this, and then we'll also talk about Serge Ibaka, maybe being the more experienced route. So we've got the young route with Naz Reid, and then Serge Ibaka, potentially the more experienced route. Which one of these players would be a better fit for Miami short-term and long-term? We'll do that next. But first, David, tell the listener about our sponsor.
Well, the NFL playoffs are here, and we're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sports book in America. That's right, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better because they have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. New customers, you can join today to get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. Look, the conference finals are happening this weekend in the NFL. Who are your picks there, Wes? I know you think it's going to be a Bengals.
First of all, they don't call them the conference finals in the NFL. It's the conference championship game.
Whatever. Who cares? I don't even watch football. I know you're excited about it. But
Joe Burrow looks really good. I think the Eagles, they've got their starting quarterback. Brock Purdy's been a nice story for the Niners, but I'm going to go Eagles out of the NFC. And I haven't made my AFC prediction yet, but I haven't seen the spreads either. But the Bengals are going to give them a tough time, the Chiefs. So,
all right. So you're giving them a possibility there. It's worth placing a wager on, as it were. All on that on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use, so football fans don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Thanks for making Locked On Heat your first listen. We were talking about Naz Reid there, and I want to finish up this thought before we move on to Serge Ibaka, because you mentioned his unrestricted free agency. And it's a good point, because Naz Reid, look, he's not the kind of guy who can go ahead and call his shots in free agency the way that obviously like an all-star player would. But given that he's young, and because the weird thing where he signed the two-way and then got promoted to a four-year deal, he's not a restricted free agent. He's an unrestricted free agent. I believe if the reporting around this is correct, that's what the case. He'd be unrestricted, not restricted the way typically a player coming off of his first contract would be, because technically this is his second contract, right? So he kind of like it, look, if the Clippers or the Bucks or the Nuggets are sort of interested in Naz Reid and his agent sort of signals to those teams, like he's not going to sign here long-term, would they give up whatever it would cost? Because they're talking about a quality player. Naz Reid is a quality player. Like, would the name that Michael Scotto, I think, threw out was like Bones Highland for Denver. Like, they're not going to part with Bones Highland if they think that Serge or that Naz Reid is just going to walk away after a couple of months. So in that respect, Naz Reid kind of he doesn't call the shots per se, but he's got a little bit of influence here. And I can't imagine that a player would not enjoy playing in Miami, especially if he's coming from Minnesota. No disrespect to Minnesota. As you know, I am a big Minneapolis fan. But so there's that part of it too. In terms of what it would cost for Miami if they wanted to get in on the Naz Reid thing, I think you would start, because the other thing with Naz Reid is only making like $1.9 million. So matching salary is really easy. And Miami has a bunch of salaries in that range. So I think you would start by calling up Minnesota and giving them a choice of Max Strus, Omer Yurtseven, or Haywood Highsmith. I don't think that the Heat would include, I don't think they would put Gabe Vincent on the table at this point, but I could be wrong. It would be, probably be like, hey, you pick Strus, Yurtseven, Highsmith, plus we've got up to 3 second round picks that we could provide. What do you think about that?
I think Minnesota probably laughs that offer off the table, right?
Yep.
That's the whole thing. It's like we're talking about him being an adequate replacement for Rudy Gobert, all-star, you know, defensive player of the year, and things of that sort. And he's been really, really good. Maybe even a more complimentary fit of Karl-Anthony Towns. And so that being said, like I don't know that they're still in a playoff hunt or anything like that, but they still want to be competitive. They want a player that they can continue to add and build around. Yeah.
And none of those guys, like I said, none of those guys, they all become free agents this summer too. So I'm with you. Even if you put Gabe Vincent on the table, and I don't know that the Heat would, I think Minnesota would still say no because they've got good backup point guards that I think they like. I agree with you. So they say no. That's Miami's first offer. They say no. Move on. Caleb Martin for Naz Reid. I think that's what Minnesota would maybe counter with because Caleb Martin fits a lot of what they're trying to do, at least in Minnesota. Wing defender, can make open threes, stuff like that. I think the Heat say no to that. I don't think that they would move Caleb Martin from Naz Reid, considering that Naz Reid's a free agent and Caleb Martin's under contract long term. So I think the Heat would say no to that. So where we end up is Nikola Jovic for Naz Reid. That's kind of where we end up because that's the only thing that makes sense. I don't think that Minnesota would. You could do like Dedmon in a first, but are you really trading a first for a guy who's going to be an unrestricted free agent? I don't think you would if you're Miami. You're not trading one of your few firsts for Naz Reid. I love Naz Reid. You're not doing that. Nikola Jovic for Naz Reid, I think, is the only thing that makes sense. The salaries are comparable enough where teams, it doesn't have to get complicated. If you're Miami, you'd actually be saving about $300,000 in that exchange. But I don't know. It depends, I guess, what they internally think about Nikola Jovic. And if they are getting the signs from Naz Reid's camp that he would re-sign in Miami.
That's it right there. They'd have to have seen something over the last few months, and neither you or I have any indication from the coaches or front office or anything like that, that they're looking to move off of Jovic. Like, he's not turned into the shooter they had hoped, and obviously he's hurt now, so they can't further evaluate him. But I think they're still high on him. I think they just haven't seen enough. He's still just 19. Like, he's still so young. The promise of him eventually is probably better than whatever Naz Reid can reach over the course. That's not a knock on Reid, but I just think the potential for Jovic is that good.
Higher ceiling.
That high.
Yeah, higher ceiling for sure. And look, you mentioned the injury, and it's a great point. It kind of mucks up the evaluation internally and externally. Nobody's played one G League game. Nobody has any idea what to make of this guy right now. So the biggest point, and I think you nailed it when we started this conversation, you just wait for him to enter unrestricted free agency, and then you try to sign him. Let's talk about Serge Ibaka. Several teams are monitoring Serge Ibaka, according to Hoops Hype. Those teams include the Nets, the Hawks, and our Miami Heat. The sense, according to Hoops Hype, is that Milwaukee would be willing to part with Ibaka for a second-round pick. I think the deal that makes the most sense, Serge Ibaka, 33 years old, making $2.9 million this year, will be a free agent this coming summer. The only deal that makes any amount of sense on Miami's end is Dwayne Dedmon in that second and one second-round pick. Dedmon for salary matching purposes. You throw in that second-round pick. Ibaka comes to Miami, a chance to win some backup center minutes. He is not somebody at this stage in his career who could probably play alongside Bam Adebayo. He's probably limited to the five. He's not playing much four. Maybe you could play Bam at the four, but Ibaka at the five, I don't know. Maybe there's something there. Again, I don't know that you're experimenting with that midstream here. 36% career three-point shooter, veteran, knows the NBA, knows the league, has played in an NBA finals, looking at an opportunity. What do you think?
He sounds like a right fit, right? The guy who can't stretch the floor, a 3-and-B type center, right? To play alongside Bam or to compete for some of those minutes. But you know what? That's kind of what the broad description of Dwayne Dedmon would be like too. Having said that, I talked to, you know, Ty Fawindish, friend of the program. He's seen Ibaka up close. Not a big fan of what he's turned into at this point in his career, given his age. He's an old 33. It's just, it's caught up to him in a way he did not expect it. And he is, I don't think he would be a problem in the locker room necessarily, but he would clamor for more minutes. And you brought up a good point in that he would come in, you'd tell him, look, you can compete for those backup minutes if you want to, but you're not guaranteed anything at this point in your career. But it's basically about more unloading Dwayne Dedmon and taking a chance that maybe you can revitalize or resuscitate your career here in Miami to a certain degree. I just don't know how realistically. He has not played much at all. He's not going to be playing for Milwaukee at any point for the rest of the season. So it's tough to envision that all of a sudden he will, you know, recapture something from his youth or find the fountain of youth here in Florida. I don't know. Like again,
I don't think it
he
happens.
Seems like a
I
good
don't
player.
think it happens either, because even from Milwaukee's side, if you're talking about bringing Dwayne Dedman back, Dwayne Dedman's making $4.7 million. Ibaka's
Right.
making 2.9. Even though you're probably getting a second round pick in the exchange,
Not worth it.
The Bucks are deep into the luxury tax, and so I know it's only like $1.5 million more or whatever, but that has obviously the multiplier on top of it when you're in the luxury tax. I don't know if you're the Milwaukee Bucks that you're wanting to pay that much more in luxury tax for Dwayne Dedman. You could, again, on paper, Dedman plays a drop better in drop coverage. That's the coverage that the Milwaukee Bucks mostly use, a backup around behind Brooke Lopez. It sort of makes sense, but again, does it make enough sense to go that much deeper into the tax, have that multiplier impact, and all that just for a second round pick and maybe a guy who could contribute some backup center minutes? Maybe it is. Maybe the Bucks are like, you know what? Let's just do it. We're going for a championship. We like Dedman. I don't know. Maybe. But to your point too, Ibaka over Dedman, I would do it if I'm the Miami Heat. If it was just like, if the Bucks were down, I would say, you know what? Let's just do it. Let's just figure it out. Because the other part of it too is that you're saving money, and then that allows you to promote Orlando Robinson to the 15-man roster. And as we know, that's really important. Ira Winderman from the Sun Sentinel had some great reporting on this recently, how those days are ticking now for Orlando Robinson. So you got to make a move if you're the Heat to offload Dwayne Dedman, get a little bit more space under the luxury tax, and in order to promote Orlando Robinson to that 15-man roster. All right. So I don't think Serge Ibaka would be a reclamation project, because I don't know there's a whole lot of reclaiming to do there. It's more of sort of finding the last bit of toothpaste in the tube kind of deal. Wow. We will talk about pulling off maybe the ultimate reclamation product with one Cam Reddish. We'll talk about that next here on Locked On Heat. Reach Locked On Heat on Twitter, Instagram, email us, lockedonheat@gmail.com. Let's talk about Cam Reddish. The Knicks are putting him on the trade block rather loudly. Any sort of NBA insider with a platform has got some sort of reporting on Cam Reddish. I think the most concrete stuff has been from Mark Stein via his Substack, that the Knicks are listening to offers. They are expecting to move him before the trade deadline and are willing to basically settle for a couple of second round picks here in exchange for Reddish. Now, if you remember back in the at the start of the season, that price was a first round pick for Cam Reddish. But Reddish is basically out of Tom Thibodeau's rotation altogether. Hasn't made any sort of noticeable impact on the Knicks. So now they're like, you know what? 2 second-round picks, we'll be happy to give them away. According to Stein, and I think it was there was somebody else out of New York. I'm blanking on the name here. Two different reporters naming the Miami Heat as a team that's expressed some interest in dealing for Reddish.
Ian Begley, wasn't it?
You're right. It was Ian Begley. Thank you. The Bucks, the Lakers, the Mavericks, all teams that have been involved in Reddish. I think there's the Lakers. Clutch Sports thing tie with the Lakers.
Not anymore. Now with Rui Hachimura, that's pretty much takes him out of their sweepstakes, I think.
You're right. Yeah, because they don't have any of those second-round picks. So, yeah, easier for the Heat, I guess, if they're super in on Cam Reddish. What do you think about Cam Reddish?
Not a believer, Fleck fan. It stinks because you hope that he can turn it around. But we're talking about a player who's been moved around twice in the first 4 years of his career and just hasn't been able to find footing anywhere he goes, whether it's in Atlanta when they were hoping that he would turn into blossom into the kind of productive player that they're fielding around John Collins and Trae Young, and he just hasn't done it. Now, I know there was some depth issues there. There was a log jam at forward. He just didn't emerge as a viable option over DeAndre Hunter and others. He wasn't good enough at any position, really. Great size, 6'7". You know, mentioned that he has a long wingspan, about 7 feet. All the tools are there. He's athletic, whatever. Although he's a little slow. He's not springy, quick, athletic, but he's got enough hops and everything else where he'd be one of Miami's better athletes. He's not necessarily the high flyer that Caleb Martin is, but he can get up there. The whole point being, he's 23. He's young. Promise, right? Great potential. Everybody would say, oh, he's worth taking a flyer on. I'm just not sure that he would either. Again, you're at this point in the season. That has to be taken into consideration. You want to bring in a guy, and Miami's modus operandi in the past has been bringing in a veteran who fits in, contributes, and knows they're willing to embrace a role because they know when they're coming to Miami, they're going to be given a chance to make money, succeed, and play in South Florida. Cam Reddish is at a point right now where I think he wants to satisfy himself first and foremost. I don't think he's necessarily about winning necessarily because he has to be. Look, he's trying to show the NBA he's a good enough player to earn a contract in the future. So he takes a lot of shots. doesn't make a lot of shots. He's kind of single-minded in that pursuit of the basket. Not a great three-point shot from his form to his actual production from the three-point line. Not great. So he sounds great in promise, but he's just not a good fit. He probably would not fit into the Miami culture as much either. And having said all that, it's an intriguing link, but I just can't see it working out here.
I think you hit the nail on the head earlier when you said the Heat, when they make these midseason types of trades, they tend to go experience, plug and play kind of stuff. Cam Reddish, if you're in on his potential, maybe you were high on him during the draft process coming out of Duke and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
As a front office, you bring this player in training camp in preseason. You try to find a role for him, try to teach him your ways. But the Heat, they don't really have an opportunity to do that in January, right? Going on February here. There's not like I said before, they don't really practice. There's not a whole lot going on. They kind of feel like they have the rotation set right now. And obviously things could change with trades, but I don't know that you're looking at Cam Reddish as a guy. You're like, yeah, we'll bring him in and he's going to be this for us. Like, you don't know that. And so he's sort of a guy that you would want to acquire in training camp and preseason and just sort of poke and prod and into kind of figuring himself out, as well as sort of you as a team figuring him out. Doing that in the middle of the year is really hard. So while I see the intrigue,
the vision,
you mentioned, 6'8", 7 foot wingspan, 220 pounds, young, shot making type of potential, flashes every once in a while. Like, I get it. I get it as an upside play. And I think most Heat fans would say, I hear all you're saying, but if it's 2 second round picks, just do it. And I would say, I don't know. If I'm Miami Heat, I've got 3 second round picks that I could trade. I've got 3 second rounders that I could move. I'm going to use 2/3 of my second round picks that I have available to me on a player who I might turn around, a guy who can't crack the Knicks road, is not good enough for the Knicks. Okay. That's what we're talking about. He's not good enough for the Knicks. I know the Knicks are having a fun year, but they're the Knicks and the Heat are the Heat. And if he's not good enough for the Knicks, I doubt he's good enough for the Heat. I'll just put it that way. And so what are you going to, I don't know. You, it would be like flushing 2 second round picks down the toilet. And like I said earlier, it's like in the Hachimura stuff, it's like, these second round picks are valuable, not necessarily to draft players with all the time, right? Even though the Heat have had a pretty good track record with them, but just as greasing the wheels in trades. So you're going to just, a team that's already limited on what kind of draft capital they have, to just take 2 picks and flush them down the toilet. Not saying that that's necessarily the case if you trade for Reddish, but I think if you did it now, it would be. I don't love it. In terms of what it would actually cost too, and by the way, I just want to put some stats to what you said. Not a great three-point shooter. 32% on his career from three. Maybe he's better from the corners. He's not. 37% from the corners. Not a great mark from the corners. He's got a backwards assist to turnover ratio, meaning he turns the ball over more than he even registers assists, which is hard to do. Okay. Not even mad. I'm just impressed. But he's making $5.9 million this year, which is the other hard thing. So even if you wanted to trade for him and you wanted to match salary, he's making $5.9 million. You have to at least match that, because if you're the Heat, you're not going into the tax for Cam Reddish. You're just not doing it. So what are you talking about? You're talking about Deadman's $4.7 million salary plus one of those smaller $1.8 million salaries, which would go back to it. It's Gabe Vincent, it's Strus, it's Highsmith, and Yurtseven. All four of those players are better for Miami right now than Cam Reddish is. So why would you do that? Plus whatever pick that the Knicks were asking for, if they're asking for any picks, like, let's take the picks off the table if you want to. Deadman and Highsmith, right? The very low end of this. Would you do that for Cam Reddish? I don't think I would. I don't think I would, because you're also not saving enough money under the tax to promote Orlando Robinson. So you're basically accomplishing nothing. So even if the Heat wanted Cam Reddish, I don't really see a way that it makes sense to get him, unless he's part of some sort of bigger deal involving the Knicks. And that's a whole other conversation.
He's an unrestricted free agent this summer.
I have no idea.
I think he is. I think he enters free agency. But either way, that's the whole thing. That's a better opportunity for him to fit in Miami, for him to come to South Florida and see what they're about. I think that there's enough of a scouting report. I think there's enough of a connection to Duke. There's enough of a connection to New York, Atlanta, et cetera, where they know what they would expect their player like Reddish. And I can't see them taking that chance now midseason. Again, a guy who's clamoring for minutes, who hasn't been able to crack rotations in Atlanta, New York, and those weren't particularly good teams at any point. And now all of a sudden you're going to bring in this kid who's 23 and say, look, we're trying to win it all right here. We think you're the missing piece. Come on. That just seems so unrealistic. It just doesn't seem like the right amount of pressure for somebody who just hasn't proven that he can do anything at an elite level, much less contribute to immediate winning. And that's just, that's not a good place for him to be. So I don't know.
The Knicks have been like, look, the Knicks have not been a model organization whatsoever, but they have been like, even weird for them, like openly putting him on the trade block. Like, they have not played any of this stuff right. Like I said, they start with, hey, we're going to get a first round. No, we'll actually do it for a couple of seconds. Like, at this point, they might just buy him out. Like, what team is trading for Cam Reddish? The Milwaukee Bucks aren't moving stuff. The Lakers, like you just said, they don't have any second round picks left. Dallas, I don't think they have any salaries that really make sense unless the Knicks want to take like JaVale McGee back. And that's a whole long-term contract issue. I don't know. So he might just end up getting bought out here if it's that much of an issue in New York for him. So I don't know.
Yeah, he is an unrestricted free agent, by the way. Sorry for the technical difficulties there, but yeah, he's entering a free agent. Look, this is the perfect story for Miami during the offseason. He could come in here, you can take a chance on him, you show him what it takes to look, you embrace Heat culture and you will get paid. If you can prove to our team and the rest of the league that you are a good professional. So yes, it's a great opportunity.
Like a Deion Waiters 2.0.
Yeah, kick those tires in July. Not now.
Thanks again for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Heat on your favorite podcast app and on YouTube. Ring the bell to get notified as soon as new episodes go up. Now make your second listen Game to Game NBA. Every moment, every top performance, every result, Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA. It's available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, wherever. Yeah. Podcast. David, thanks for joining me.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining me, Wes.